here we are, Live It Out, a podcast, episode number 5. What is a disciple? Tim Bubar.
Let's talk about it, Dave Grohn.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, I'm just grateful that as we jump into this week, that it's not more of the what does the Bible say about stuff, because that was stress-filled.
Stump the chump, you know? That's what it felt like. It was like, yeah, what are the hardest questions we can try and get these guys to answer? Yeah, it is a relief to be past that.
Yeah. And not saying that we might not address the real questions of life again, but it's stressful to be like, okay, because a lot of those questions, they are very difficult to walk the tension between what Scripture says and how do I implement that in my life and real people who are struggling with real problems. So
right, yeah. And it feels like, well, those are big, I would call them like pastoral questions, and you don't necessarily, you can't really answer it in 6 minutes on a podcast, but we can talk a little bit about it and start the conversation, yeah. I guess. That's what we did.
That's why we responded.
Yeah.
And so here we go. This week, we're going to start a different conversation for the rest of this series. We're going to be talking something about discipleship, and you are our discipleship pastor here at Two Rivers Church. Yeah. So a great opportunity for us to talk about what is a disciple. So that's what we're going to talk about in this week's podcast. So Tim, what is a disciple?
A disciple is, okay, at its most basic, what we say is a disciple is a follower of Jesus. Now, I can remember when I was a high school pastor having a conversation with some of my student leaders, and I posed the question, can you be a Christian without being a disciple?
And what was their response?
They fought about it for 20 minutes, high school students, arguing fiercely about that, because some really felt like, no, that's being a Christian means being a disciple. And others were like, well, no, you can be a Christian and, you know, you're saved or you prayed the prayer or you're going to heaven, but being a disciple is a higher level of commitment than that. That's kind of what their two sides of their argument were.
Yeah, I love the fact that you said that, because as we think about how we frame following Jesus, a lot of people put it in the frame of I prayed a prayer to receive Christ so I can go to heaven someday. Mm-hmm. That's the frame. Mm-hmm. And if that's your understanding of the gospel, then that description of a follower of Jesus makes sense. That if I'm a follower of Jesus because I prayed a prayer of salvation, but I am a disciple because I'm good at that. Maybe
because right? I'm good at following him.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's kind of the bottom line. So yeah. this is what I say. I was in a group with a bunch of church leaders who struggled with that same thing. They struggled with the concept that every follower of Jesus is ultimately a disciple. But this is how I would say it: that there's good disciples and bad disciples.
Sure.
And we're reluctant to say that in the circles in which we run. Like, hey, there's people who are really great at following Jesus. And there's people who aren't so great at following Jesus. That's just the reality of it. And it doesn't mean, I want to be clear, it doesn't mean Jesus loves them any more or less. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the love of Jesus. But some people, we really can go, wow, that person is a really good follower of Jesus. And there's other people who really aren't. That's not an argument to say one's a disciple and one isn't.
Right.
One's a follower and one isn't. They're both followers. Just there's people who are maybe more committed in their followership.
Yeah. I think it's fair to lean into the word follower. I mean, if we're going to use that word to define what a disciple is, a follower of Jesus, then lean into the English word follower, because disciple is a kind of a foreign word. I mean,
it is.
We use it a lot, but it comes from another time and place and another culture. But follower, well, we can at least understand the basics of what an English speaker means when they say follow someone, you know?
Right.
And yeah, the idea that someone might be good at that and someone else might be not as good at that, at following someone else, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And even now, it's interesting the way words change over time, because even now in our culture, following gets tied to social media. And, you know, I follow so-and-so on the TikTok or whatever, you know, and yes, I did say the TikTok on purpose, just so we're clear for all the kids out there. Yeah. I found out actually we do have some students who listen in. So that's really cool.
Cool.
And so let's talk about that. You talked about that this is a word from another time and culture. What's that all about?
Well, when Christians start throwing around the word disciple, we are referencing the world that Jesus lived in when he walked the earth in the Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago. And in that world, specifically in the culture that Jesus lived in, within, you know, in that Jewish culture, there was the disciple and rabbi relationship. Rabbi is just a teacher, and they had students that were called disciples because they were more than maybe what we think of as just a student. So it was more, we would think of as a student as someone who attends class, receives knowledge, and tries to store that knowledge away, you know, so it can be useful in the future. But the, you know, first century picture of a disciple, the kind of disciples that Jesus had, was way more encompassing of all of life than just attending a class and learning information.
Right. And so I think it's hard for us because there isn't really a parallel in our culture. I mean, the closest maybe you can get is to an apprenticeship.
Yeah.
But even that is gonna, you know, if I'm an apprentice in something, I'm still gonna go home at the end of the day. You know, I may want to be a master craftsman or a really great electrician or a master plumber of some type or something. But at the end of the day, I don't want to actually be like my teacher. And that was really a distinguishing mark of the disciple and a teacher or a disciple and a rabbi. It's not just, oh, I want to learn from you. It's I want to become like you.
Yeah.
And when we get that distinguishing, now it really does connect more to following Jesus. It's a really great thing. It's a really great word. It's worth the investment in understanding and not avoiding.
That's why we still use the word disciple, even though it has all this confusion about what it means, because it's worth it. Yeah. Yeah.
And I would even say maybe many of us come out of a faith tradition where it's just been miscommunicated to us that we could go through a discipleship program. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a discipleship program, but we could go through a discipleship program and then there's everybody else. And really what we're talking about is that if everyone's a follower of Jesus, it's all about learning from the rabbi. And so if we were going to say who we're disciples of, and even if we are saying we are discipling someone, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a term I've used plenty of times. But lately, I just feel like maybe there's some problems. It's not a terrible thing to say, oh, I'm discipling someone. If I'm clear, I'm discipling them to Jesus. Jesus is in the rabbi-disciple relationship. Jesus is the rabbi. Jesus is always the rabbi. He's the master. He's the teacher, whatever word you want to use for it. I'm not. So if I'm going to say I'm discipling someone, I'm trying to help them be a disciple of Jesus. I'm not trying to help them be a disciple of me, you know?
Right. And that's it may seem overly nuanced, but I think that's an important distinction to be able to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus. And I'm investing in someone so that they can follow Jesus is different than I'm discipling someone. And so one of the passages of scripture that I have personally struggled with is where Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he encourages them that they should be imitators of him, that they should imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's a passage that I've struggled a little bit with, and we haven't spent much time talking about this. But what's your thought on that?
I think Paul says, you know, Paul says elsewhere to the Corinthians, that's in 1 Corinthians 11, I think, that he says, be imitators of me as I imitate, as I am of Christ. 1
Corinthians 11, 1.
Okay. He also says somewhere in that letter, maybe we can find it. He says something to the effect of, I'm sending you Timothy, or I've sent you Timothy, and he's going to teach you my way of life in Christ, which is what I teach in all the churches that I go to. And so that's what I hear Paul saying when he says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I don't think he's saying, make me your standard, because I've made Christ my standard, and so I'm a good enough reflection of him. I think he's saying, Jesus had a way of life. I'm trying to live that way of life. So watch how I do it. That's kind of the way I think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too. I've spent a lot of time really reluctant to say that, to like, hey, imitate me as I follow Jesus, mostly born out of insecurity. There was once upon a time I was at another church in another place in another, seems like another lifetime. And they went to put my name on the church sign. And I about came undone. I was like, what?
The Reverend David Gruen?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, the Reverend, the right Reverend. It was there. I was like, oh no, this can't possibly be. And just pretty passionate that we would say, no, you're following Jesus, and I'm a guide to point you to Jesus. And then there was a time I was like, oh, I came across this, right? And I was reading like, wait, what's the struggle to be able to say, okay, there is something that somebody should be able to look into my life if they're a follower and say, okay, I'm a follower of Jesus, too. Come with me on this journey. And so I think that's different than, hey, I got this all figured out. I think sometimes people would say that. Like, I figure out how to be a disciple, so mm-hmm. then I can disciple other people. And it really is, I think, more, hey, I'm following Jesus. Come with me as I follow Jesus.
Yeah, right, right. And and I think that's both the right kind of humility, but also just being realistic, you know? Jesus was putting, for lack of a better term, putting his disciples to work, making other disciples, long before they really had any clue what they were. You know, there was so much they didn't understand about Jesus. But he said, come with me. We're going to fish for other men. You know, I mean, you're going to help me make disciples of Jesus. And they didn't have to be accomplished disciples who could then model the right way to do it first. It was, we're following Jesus. Come follow him with us, just right. as you're describing.
And the more I've read about, you know, the ancient world and the way the structure within Judaism in the days in which Jesus lived, here is a common cultural reference that we really have to work at to really get this idea of the teacher and the student, or the I'm a member of a school. And so it wasn't some radical thing that Jesus was inviting people to come and follow him. This was common for there to be traveling teachers that had schools. In fact, we even read about them. You know, Paul even talks about that he writes about his teacher, the school that I was a part of. And so I think there's a piece of it that does require an investment on our part to try and get our minds around what was, but then know what are the principles that now we can implement in how our society and culture work today that reflect the essential core value of being transformed in the image of Christ is really what we're talking about. Yeah. At the heart of being a follower of Jesus is to have a restored image of Christ in us as we reflect him into this world.
Yeah.
And so it does require that then we take a look at, hey, it's not just this idea of I get to go to heaven someday, but what is a life of a person who is following Jesus today, being shaped in the image of Christ? What is that life that we're called to live?
Yeah.
And this is kind of an emphasis that maybe historically in the church has been less than driving towards a decision in order that a person would quote unquote get saved.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, yeah, I think this relates. That passage that I referenced before is in 1 Corinthians 4. So it's earlier in that same letter. Paul uses that imitator language again. He says, "I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ," or some translations say as my way of life in Christ. So it's that idea that to be an imitator, what he's saying is, imitate me, that there's a way of living in Christ. And I've established, I sort of have some habits and patterns and routines that are part of how I follow Christ. I've taught them to Timothy. He's going to teach them to you. Because it's not following Jesus isn't just praying a prayer. I mean,
yeah,
it's a way of life.
Yeah, that's really good. It's a way of life. Yeah. So if we say as a church, as we're talking about being and making disciples, if we talked about everything that's involved in the life of being part of a faith community that we call Two Rivers Church, what does it mean for us to be making disciples as a church?
What does it mean for us to be making disciples as a church?
But collectively.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Collectively, right? It's one thing for us, okay, personally, to go, okay, wait, am I following Jesus, maybe inviting other people to follow Jesus on the journey with me, right? But what collectively is Two Rivers Church as a whole? What does it look like for us to collectively make disciples?
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk about this a little bit. I have had some strong, I guess I just call them disciple-making convictions that have developed that from people I've read and had conversations with and influenced by, and friends have discussed this. And one of those things is that, as conviction, that disciple-making is all about relationships, that disciple-making always happens. Disciples are always made in relationship. And so some phrases like disciples are can't be mass produced. They are handcrafted, you know? I'm like, oh yeah, that I definitely, that's the way Jesus did it, you know? But, and that is the way Jesus did it. But Jesus wasn't just making one disciple at a time. Some people read the Gospels and go, yep, Jesus had 12 disciples. But you just have to kind of read and look at how often the word disciple shows up there, how often it shows up in the book of Acts, to realize there were a lot more than, Jesus had a lot more than 12 disciples, and that he had even many, 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 many more in the first years after his death and resurrection. There were just more and more disciples of Jesus. And so you can see that, and you go, okay, disciples are, yes, they are handcrafted, they're not mass-produced, but even Jesus had a way of speaking to crowds and introducing big numbers of people to what it is to follow him. He taught people the way he's going. And that's, I think, the challenge for a church. I don't think it's that a church has to say, you know, we do things with crowds, and that's one thing we do. We put on a service every weekend. And then we do disciple making in another place where there's close relationships. But no, there's a I think meant to be a seamless connection between what we do as a whole church and what we do in those deeper relationships.
Yeah, we're gonna get a chance to talk about that in another episode along the way, like what that looks like. But I just wanted to get it out there that it isn't just maybe that discipleship happens in the one-on-one. It also happens collectively. You said you had a few of those core convictions. What's another, like, one of those core discipleship Tim Bubar convictions?
Well, one I've said already. It's sort of a mantra for me. Jesus is the rabbi. Jesus is always the rabbi. That's another one of them. Just because I don't want to get off the path of making disciples of me. So that's for sure another core one. What about for you? Do you have some things that you'd go, oh, this is really important to me when I think about making disciples?
Yeah, I probably have a few things. One is, I think that people would understand the concept that it really is. I mean, once again, we've already talked about it. Probably my core convictions just come out of me because they're core convictions. But this idea that we are all disciples, and it's just a matter of some people are, and I think we see in Scripture, we see different levels of disciples. Even within the 12, it's very clear that we see different levels of disciples. And I think that kind of language might make people nervous because they hear better or worse. And that's not what I'm saying. But it is in the sense of we're not all in the same place in life ever in anything that we do. We're mm-hmm. all in different stages of development. We're all in different stages of life. And so it doesn't have to do anything to do with the time that I have followed Jesus, uh-huh. but I do believe it has everything to do with the steps of obedience uh-huh. that I've taken as I followed Jesus.
And it also doesn't have to do with how I'm received or viewed by God. It's not
nothing to do with that.
Okay, higher level, my favorite ones. If we're adopted into God's family, we're his children. We're adopted.
And we can push it further and talk about rewards in heaven all that. I mean, that does seem that how we follow matters. It does appear in Scripture that it does matter, but not in a way that we overly reduce it to, God must love that person more than me. That is absolutely not true, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It has nothing to do with being accepted or... I think there is a piece that because even though that makes us uncomfortable, because so many people have encountered the... maybe the mentality that I'll only be accepted by God if I do all the right religious things. Right. And we just know that's fundamentally not true. I'm not talking when I say that about, did you read your Bible, today?
Yeah.
Right? Like, did you read your Bible? Like a good disciple reads their Bible every day.
Yeah. Right? So that gets to another one of my core convictions about being a disciple, about discipleship. It's that, disciple doesn't mean somebody who has it all together or somebody who has it all figured out. You know, I heard somebody say, somebody who I've quoted a lot, but he says, a disciple is someone, it's not somebody who has it all together or knows everything about God. Disciple is somebody, simply someone who's constantly revising their affairs to follow through on their decision to follow Jesus. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus. So what they do is they don't get it right all the time. What they do is they keep going back and going, I need to change the way I operate because I said I was following Jesus and I'm not doing very well at that, or I'm missing that. And so I want to change what I'm doing. That's that kind of change is just repentance over and over. But that idea that a disciple is not a spiritual elite. A disciple is not someone who's got it all together. A disciple is someone who's just continually coming back to, okay, I'm following Jesus. How do I get back on that path?
Yeah, and they're on the path. Yeah, I think that, I love that. Right. Like they're on the path.
Yeah.
And another one of my core convictions, I would say, is we can't do everything. But when it comes to core convictions, if you try and say, well, just do everything that's in the New Testament, I personally am checking out. Because it's like, that's way beyond me. You could just say, hey, do everything Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm out. Because there's no way. There's no way I could ever just do that. But we have tried to reduce it and not overly simplify it. But we see four core values of a disciple that emerge in Scripture that we talk about a lot. It's the core values that we would say that we have as Two Rivers Church, but it's not just, hey, because we're Two Rivers Church, we have these core values, which I do think it's important that we would point out. It's different than a lot of churches. Sure. They have core values that they would say are, hey, because this is who we are as this church. And I think what's different for us and how we think about these core values is this is what we see in the New Testament as core values or biblical DNA of a follower of Jesus as described in the New Testament. So when we say being a gospel-centered kind of person, you could say Jesus-centered kind of person. Like that is a core kind of thing, being both dependent upon the Word and empowered by the Spirit. We see that emerge from Scripture, being relationally connected. Mm-hmm. That's a core piece. And basically say, like, handcrafted, right? Like, it's right. It requires a relational connection, right. and with other followers of Jesus. And that's why we say relationally connected with Jesus and other followers of Jesus. And then when we say it that way, sometimes people will go further and say, well, what about the people who don't know Jesus yet? Mm-hmm. What about that?
Right. And where does...
Yeah, where does that? If I say I need to be relationally connected to Jesus and other people who follow Jesus, where? What about the people who don't know Jesus yet?
Right. Yeah, right. Well, if I'm living a... I mean, if I'm living a gospel-centered life, and if I'm living a word-dependent, spirit-empowered life, then, of course, the Spirit's going to lead me, and the Word is going to lead me to cross that divide between believer and non-believer. You know? I mean... Jesus didn't stand.
I'm shaking my head like it matters.
Jesus didn't stand on one side of that and go, okay, well, you know, he crossed the divide. And so of course he's going to lead his, if we're following him, he's going to lead us across that line. And, I guess that's kind of leads to what I would say is another disciple making conviction of mine is that discipleship isn't, it's the whole process from before somebody ever knows Jesus. Making disciples is, it means carrying the good news, the gospel, being gospel-centered, carrying that good news beyond those who have heard it and know it and believe it to those who haven't heard it or don't know it or don't believe it and sharing it with them so that they can then step into discipleship, become a follower of Jesus.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of times people think, you know, maybe in the life of church, there was once it was really a big deal that a church would have all these statements, you know, a mission statement, a vision statement, all that kind of stuff. And that kind of fell out of being in style for a while. But it is, I think, not overly simplistic. I love our mission to be able to say we exist. Two Rivers Church exists to make followers of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Like, we exist for that.
Yeah.
What kind? Well, the ones that have this biblical DNA.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of follower. But you can't say, well, yeah, of course it's with the world. Yes.
Right.
And so we believe we exist to make followers of Jesus. And in order to become a follower of Jesus, you actually have to become a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
And we can't make followers of Jesus if people don't go from unbelief to belief
yeah.
or from death to life.
Yeah.
From old to new, however we want to express that.
Right.
And my favorite way right now to say it is that they would become citizens of the kingdom of God, that they would enter and start living today in the kingdom of God. So let's shift it just a little bit as we're talking about disciples being disciples. Who are some of the big influences on you when it comes to how you think about being and making disciples?
Okay, there's one, well...
This is just for fun.
Yeah, this is fun. Well, I mean, there's those who I've been close to and those who I've watched from afar. And I know one that I've watched from afar for both of... I know for both of us because I noticed it very early on when I started working here. I was like, oh, Dave Gruen, he's been reading
Who?
Dallas Willard.
Dallas Willard.
Yeah. So Dallas Willard was at one time, he was the chair of the philosophy department at the University of Southern California.
That's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. He was no slouch. He had a good brain on his shoulders. But man, he was a super deep thinker, super just crazy smart, and such a vibrant spiritual life. I briefly met him one time, and talking to him after this little class, it was like, this guy's the real deal. I mean, you could just sense it coming off of him that he wasn't just a good author, a good speaker, a good theologian. Like, he seems like he believes and is practicing this stuff. So that had a big influence on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a big influence on me too, which we talked a little bit about and in the concept of discipleship, to be able to think that you can disciple people from afar is like if someone to ask me, who's one of the biggest discipleship influences on your life? It's probably some people that I've read. And I know that sounds foreign mm-hmm. to people, but it's like, okay, this way of thinking, how this person thinks has significantly shaped me What are some of those other current voices right now for you?
Another one, this is kind of in my, just before coming to Two Rivers, but this is a little more up close and personal, was I just had a group of friends. One guy who was a friend invited me to join some other guys, and we just spent, we spent 2 years, not 2 years constantly. We would get together one day a month, and we would, in between, we would read the Gospels and study how Jesus was making disciples, and then we'd get together and talk about the implications of that. And it was just really helpful in terms of how do we live this out today? Not how do we pretend to be first century rabbis, because that's not the idea, but what was Jesus doing and emphasizing that we should be doing and emphasizing as we want to be disciples and as we want to be disciples who make disciples? So having a group of friends who studied scripture together and discussed it and talked about specifically, what does it mean for us to be disciples who are making disciples in the 21st century? That was another huge, huge influence for me.
As we think about, where we're going next, I will set it up. So episode 5 headed into episode 6, we'll set it up. We're going to actually talk about in our next episode how we follow Jesus together at Two Rivers Church. Really, the intent of this podcast isn't that it would be anything outside of Two Rivers Church. People who are investing in, we're calling it the Live It Out podcast, people who are trying to put into motion following Jesus each day. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that next time. But at the core of what it is, a disciple is a follower of Jesus. It's that simple. And it's that complicated, yeah. All in one little bundle. Yeah. What's your last word, Tim? Tim Bubar.
Okay, this is way more than the last word, but
go.
We, as a church, exist to make disciples. And I can remember a long time ago reading the Great Commission, and I thought it sounded like spiritual Amway. Like,
I've not heard you use that before. Spiritually.
We'll go like, hey, you're going to be a disciple. And guess what disciples do? They make other disciples. Yeah. What do? They make other disciples,
Yeah.
And if you just think of it that way, it kind of starts to sound like spiritual Amway, yeah. Like just
pyramid marketing, man.
But when that's why I think the our four core values, a picture of what the life of following Jesus is meant to look like. Yeah, it's being a disciple, but it's the life that a disciple lives. It's not just the label of a disciple. We got that label on you, slap it on some more people. But no, to be a person who's gospel-centered, who's word-dependent, spirit-empowered, relationally connected, and then to be part of helping other people become gospel-centered, word-dependent, spirit-empowered, relationally connected to other followers of Christ and to God himself, that's not Amway. That's living a kind of life. That's life with God and inviting other people into it. And that's what I want to remember as I think about what's a disciple's life like?
It's a life. The life that's truly life.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us in this episode. And we'll see you next time, episode 6.